Please open your Bible to the book of Psalm, chapter 119, verse 1 through 8. And this is what the Word of God says in Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently, all that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Praise be to God for the reading of His word. Father, we thank you again for another opportunity you've given us to be in your word. I pray, Father, you would reveal yourself and who you are in our lives. Lord, I thank you for another afternoon that you are so faithfully provided for us to be able to sing, to be able to read your word, to fellowship, to pray, to commune with you. Lord, what a gift. Enable us today to just cast all our cares on you because you care for us. To be able to confidently come to the throne of grace, knowing, Father, you know what's going on in our lives despite of the difficulties and challenges that we may be facing individually. Lord, we do pray for wisdom for those who are confused and trying to make decisions in life. I pray that you would grant them wisdom and that you generously give to them. So, Father, we pray for that. Lord, we pray for the mass shooting in Jacksonville, Florida. We pray, Father, for your comfort for those who have lost loved ones during this time. I pray, Father, you would raise up the church there in Jacksonville to come in the community, Lord, to come alongside of those people who are hurting, to present the gospel of hope, that you are the answer for any problems, especially during this time. And so, Father, I pray that you would grant them peace and joy despite of all the things that's going on in that time, dear Lord. And so we pray that you would work in the midst of all this chaos there in that community. And even for us here, Father, we simply commit to our lives. May you be exalted above all things. May we make much of Christ in our gathering today. So we lift up your name. In the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray, and everyone say, Amen. Now sit down. If you have a bulletin, you'll see the title of our first message of our series in the book of Psalm, chapter 119. And our series is called Living by the Book. And you will see that it will present to us in this 8 verses in how we ought to live by the Word of God. Amen. If there's any way for us and commanded us to live a life that is according to God, it will be from His Word. And as we look at these 8 verses, we see this, the theme is consistent. Happy are those who walk in the Word. Happy are those who walk in the Word. As we have read Psalm chapter 1, and we would look at that more in details. In this passage, I do want you to see seven things in this passage that's before us. And the first one is very simple, but really easy to miss. And here it is. The first thing I want us to look at out of seven is that, number one, God's word is God's word. That's very simple. God's word is God's word. The psalmist teaches us a very important principle about the Christian life all throughout this section of Psalm 119. And it is that God's word is God's word. I don't know how you taking the time to read this past week, the book of Psalm, chapter 119. And that's one thing that you would see over and over about the Word of God. You can even listen to audio and listen through the chapters, Psalm 119. Even when you're driving or whatever you're doing, it's also helpful for you to listen to the Word of God. And so, again, God's word is God's word, and we need to remember that. I'm not just being redundant when I say God's word is God's word. I'm saying that when we read the word of God, we need to remember whose word it is. It is because we are very often apt to place our opinions on the level of God's truth, and we fail to realize the uniqueness of having God's word given to us to read, to hear, to listen, to understand, and to respond to. And I want you to see the importance of that, of the word of God. And the psalmist, in many ways, just in the passage we've read, presses home this truth that God's word is the word of God. It belongs to God. It comes from God. It is his possession given to us, the very word of God. And look how he does this in verse 1. He speaks of the law. He's going to use different names for the word of God throughout this psalm, as we have said this past Sunday. And what does he call it? He doesn't just call it the law. He calls it the law of the Lord. The law is not just the law. It is the Lord's law. God's word is God's word. And that's what the psalmist is saying before us. Look at verse 2. He speaks of testimonies. Blessed are those who keep his what? His testimonies. That another term that he uses for the word of God, but he doesn't just say testimonies. He says his testimonies. Sometimes we listen to it or we read it too fast. We want us to see the importance that it is his word. It is his testimonies. God's testimonies. The emphasis is this: testimonies come from God. You look at verse 3. He speaks of ways. Way is a Bible way of talking about a path of living. Way. A way of living, a manner of living. But in verse 3, he doesn't just say ways. He says his ways. Do you see that? Verse 4, he speaks of precepts. Yet another term that he uses for the word of God, the law of God, but he doesn't just say precepts. Again, he says your precepts, God's precepts. Verse 5, he speaks of statutes. Yet another term that he uses for the word of God, the law of God, but he doesn't just say statutes. He says what? Your statutes. You got it? You're getting it? Verse 6, he speaks of what? Read it with me, church. Your commandments. Verse 7, he speaks of your righteous rules. Verse 8, he speaks again of what? Your statutes. You get the emphasis? The psalmist wants us to understand that the word of God is what? God's word. That is a very theme that goes on through this chapter. And I want us to see the importance of the word of God. He wants us to consider with that. These aren't our ideas. These aren't man's witness to God's revelation. These are God's word to his people. They are revelation. They are revelation written and they come from God. They are inspired of God. They are authored by God. God's word is God's word. Word? Word. Well, you might not be slang enough for you to understand what I just said. Word. That is hugely important for the Christian life, especially in our day and time, where in every side the authority of God's word is under assault. Do you believe that? Do you believe the moment you say John 3:16 or Romans 8:28? Well, Romans 8:28 is kind of friendly to a lot of people, right? But the moment you talk about sin and use the Bible, what happens then? The word of God is under assault, right? You pick up those verses. Oh, sin? I'm not sinful. Who are you talking about? Who are you to judge? The word of God is under assault on every side. If you see the word of God mentioned in our culture today, it is so often denigrated, questioned, undermined. And the psalmist wants us to get it straight in our minds at the outset that God's word is God's word. I hope you don't get bored with me saying over and over, God's word is God's word. Because that's all that matters to us. My opinion, my ideas don't matter. When we read the Word of God, God speaks. We want you to be resting with confidence in the truth that this is the Word of God. And the beginning of the true way of life is in confidence in God's Word. There's the first thing that I want us to see. It demands full commitment to God and to His Word. We are not to be half-hearted, accepting with occasional obedience. But rather, we need to obey completely. We need to have a full heart when it comes to the Word of God. So again, my beloved, the first thing that we see here again is God's Word is God's Word. Amen. So number two, the way of blessing and happiness. The way of blessing. How many of you in the past have looked for a book, How to Be Happy? And how many of you trying to figure out, I want to be happy? I just want to be happy. Why can I be happy in this relationship? Right? You've heard that before if you're in a relationship. Oh, I'm not happy, so I'm going to leave you. The world speaks of happiness in their own ways, right? I'm not happy with this grade. A? What's that about? I want an A plus, right? I mean, when I was in school, believe it or not, I'm happy with 87. Okay? But that's all I can do. Right? You're not happy being what you look like, right? With the color of your hair, right? Let's get back to the scripture. Let's rewind. The second thing is this. You'll see, especially in verses 1 and 2. In verse 1 and 2, the psalmist teaches us that the way of blessing and happiness is what? It's the Word of God. Many writers acknowledge that to be happy is a universal goal of men and women. The only people who do not want to be happy are what? Abnormal people. Apart from being instructed by God, human beings do not know how to achieve happiness. They think they will be happy if they think they can earn enough money, be respected by those with whom they work, acquire enough power to do whatever they like, or to be free from all restraints, or discover someone who will love them without conditions. But these pursuits do not ensure happiness. How many of you have a lot of money? Are you happy? A lot of people have said, you know what, they've reached that goal, they have so many millions and millions of dollars, and what they say? They're not happy, right? I can't say that, that's not about me, right? They've reached popularity, and they say, you know what, I'm still not happy, right? They get the most expensive iPhone ever, they're still not happy, right? They may be happy with Samsung phone. How can a person find happiness? How can a person find happiness? The Bible tells us that the path to a happy life is not a happy wife. Can I tell you up front that I don't agree with that statement, happy wife, happy life? Amen. That's not biblical. You can put that on your Instagram. The Bible's word for this blessedness is conforming to the law of God. For you want to be happy? It's to what? To conform your life to what? To the Word of God. See, when your wife is not happy, that doesn't make you not happy. Right? You need to conform, you and I need to conform our lives to the Word of God. And what happened then? We'll be blessed. We'll be happy. Right? So what is being commanded to us at the start of Psalm 119 is getting to know and live by the whole of God's revelation, which is what we call the Bible. If you could go to a book that would teach you the way of true happiness. Would you be interested? Right? I mean, a lot of people go to a bookstore. It's like, they'll go to the bookstore and says, how to be happy. They'll go, there's a category for that, how to be happy. Right? They'll be interested. I mean, the psalmist is getting ready to tell us here, the way of blessing, the way of happiness is the way of the word. The way of true blessing and happiness is the way of the word. Listen to what he says in verse 1. Blessed are. Okay, I want to know what the answer to that. Happy are. Truly happy are. Deeply and eternally happy are. Truly blessed are who? 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 What's the answer? Those whose way is what? Blameless. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. The series stressed living by the Bible. Because that is what these opening verses emphasize. The blessedness, the happiness they speak of, it is for those who walk according to God's word. Not just to walk, but to what? To keep his statutes. So we have to understand that this keeping of the law is a practical matter, a way of life, and not merely a course of academic study. Right? We're not just simply in the word of God for us to put in our head and just look, you know what? I passed, I got a grade on this, my grade and all that. But it's for us to respond to the word of God and live that in the world. You see, we cannot live by the Bible unless we know it well. Open your Bible to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Right? This is where I'm going to call Ruby and Zyla. I think they memorized 3 verses already.
Yes.
Right? So now it's your turn to stand up and memorize. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Church, again, when we speak about law, we're not speaking about the Old Testament, the first 5 books of the Bible. We're talking about the whole revelation or the Word of God. You see the attitude, you see the heart of the psalmist in chapter 1. Happy is the man, happy is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Happy is Rudy. Happy is Leah, who happy is, put your name in there. How happy I am, I'm blessed I am, not because of this, not because of that, but because I am walking in the way of the Lord. That's what makes you happy. Not the stuff that we accumulate that makes us happy. Not the relationship that we treasure, but rather we're happy when we are what? Walking and keeping the law of the Lord. The command, church, is this. We need to study, we need to meditate, and we need to memorize the word. The scripture doesn't just say it here in Psalm 119 as we read in Psalm 1. Psalm 119 actually is just elaborating Psalm chapter 1. Isn't that beautiful? We're memorizing Psalm chapter 1, and we're studying and breaking down Psalm 119. You see that Psalm 119 begins like Psalm chapter 1 by pronouncing a blessing on the one who forms his or her life according to the Word of God. Are you forming your life according to the Word of God? Are you conforming your life according to the Word of God? In a sense, Psalm 119 is the Bible's best thorough exposition of the beatitude of Psalm chapter 1, which indicates from the start by its opening lines in verse 1 and 2. Again, church, this is said over and over in the Bible, that true blessedness, true happiness is walking according to the word of God. We know that. Scripture says that. Furthermore, our experience even confirms that if you're a believer today, you know that the times of deepest blessing that you have ever experienced is when your life, your desires, your purposes have been shaped by the Word of God. Amen? Can you say that? That your life has been changed and been transformed in those deepest times, those blessings, because you have what? Obeyed the Word of God. You have been shaped. Can you imagine that? What that really looks like? I mean, I don't say that those times have been most trouble-free. I mean, some of you have testified that it was precisely in the times of greatest trouble that you experienced the greatest blessing, because what you cared about was not freedom from the temporal trouble, but the presence of the living God, fellowship with the living God. Do you remember those times? When you were in your difficult and your challenging times, that you read the Word of God, you have experienced the joy of, despite of being in the midst of chaos, and you have this joy and you have this peace because of what? Reading and meditating and memorizing the Word of God. I mean, your goals were drawn from Scripture. Your motivation was drawn from Scripture. Your desires were directed by Scripture, and even though you were in those storms, so both in Scripture and in providence, you have tasted and seen that it is true, that true blessedness, true happiness is when you're walking in the Word. You are walking according to the Word. You're walking according to the Word. But here's the mystery, and here's the irony. The irony is also that our experience sometimes solely tempts us to disbelieve that. Every time we sin, we are in some form or fashion and to some degree questioning that truth. So every time we sin in our Christian experience, we are in some ways calling into question the truth that the way of blessing and happiness is in the way of the Word. So sometimes we wrestle with. And the psalmist is very aware of this, and we'll see this more later on. You're going to see this clearly in this passage. And the psalmist isn't just throwing out platitudes and asking a question. You know you want to be happy, but he's going to deal with that in verse 6 and later in this passage. So the Bible teaches, and providence confirms, that true happiness is only found when you are walking in the way of the Word. So, are you happy? Are you blessed? You know how you say you in your Instagram, in your Facebook post, it says bless. Your hashtag bless. Your hashtag happy. Why do you put that in there? Because I'm walking in the Word. That is the answer. Oh no, wait. You're happy because you got promoted, right? You're happy because you got a new job. You're happy because why? You got a good grade. You accomplished a lot. Your kids are doing great in school. You're happy, or you're blessed. But can we really say what the Word of God is saying here in Psalm chapter 1, that the way of happiness is walking according to the Word of God? Amen? That's what we need to be. Listen to what William Plummer says. No man has taking the first step towards real abiding blessedness unless he has become a sincere and habitual servant of the Most High God according to Scripture. What Plummer is saying, he's saying this, you don't know the first thing about happiness until you've taken that first step toward living for the Most High God according to His Word, because that's where the street of blessedness is found and nowhere else. Only in that time. We walk according to the Word of God. Number 3, the way of the Lord is about walk and not, finish the sentence. The way of the Lord is not about walk. The way of the Lord is about walk and not talk. You look at verse 1 and 2. I mean, the powerful truth for the Christian life, the way of the Lord is about walk, not talk. The point of the opening verses of Psalm 119 is not merely that we must know the Bible, but that we must determine to live by it, to keep it, to obey it. Do you hear that, church? It's not simply knowing what is the Word of God, what we hear, what we read, but it's for us to be able to obey, to be able to keep it, and live by the instruction of the Word of God. The reason we are not happy is that we sin. The main reason we sin as much as we do is that we do not know the Bible well enough. These verses tell us that the happy people are those who do nothing wrong. If we ask how they have learned not to do wrong, the answer is truly is that they have learned to walk in God's ways and obey His precepts. Notice the word referring to human response and responsibility in just this one stanza. You see the word walk. Circle that word. Right? Circle that. What else? Keep, obey, learn. Listen to the language that is used in verse 1, 2, and 3. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who do no wrong but walk in His ways. Did you get that? Way, walk, keep, seek, do, walk. All of those terms indicate a way of living, not just saying the right words, not just thinking the right thoughts, not just being able to engage intelligently and articulately in whatever the theological discussion, and here's the point, but living it out. That's the whole point, church. To be able for us to keep, obey, and follow God. That's why some of the godless people that you've ever met or will meet aren't able to have deep and profound discourses or discussion about complex parts of theological issues, but they live out the word. Have you met such people? Those who have spent in the Word of God? They may not have the correct theological terms, but you know what? You'll see it the way they live out their lives according to the Word of God. Why? You know why? Because they love the Word. They love the Lord. They love God's Word. And simply, they live it out. They're not just in it for the talk. They're in it for the walk. That's a challenge that's before us. Right? I mean, if we pause here and really think and assess our own hearts, are we doing a lot of talking with our faith, or are we walking according to the ways of the Lord? Listen to what Matthew Henry says. It will not serve us to make religion merely the subject of our own conversation. We must make it the rule of our walk. And that's the point that the psalmist is making. The way of blessedness isn't about talk. It's about walk. It's not about being able to have theologically correct conversations. It's about living out the truth. It's about living out the truth. Number four. It is God's will that we pursue and grow in holiness. Look at verses 4 and 5. The wicked are not so. Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 4 and 5. You have commanded your precepts to be kept. How? Diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in your statutes. It is God's will. It is purpose in His providence and propounded in His scripture that we pursue and grow in holiness. It is God's will that we grow in holiness. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we get the idea that its characters were special, very special people unlike ourselves. We do not get very far into this psalm before we discover that He is very much like ourselves. I want us to see that at times we read the Bible and we we see how this man of God or this woman of God, and how he or she is able to persevere and live a holy life before God. Can I tell you this? That the people that are in the Bible are just like us. Amen? I mean, when you read the book of James chapter 5, when you see Elijah, he has the same like what? Like us, it says in there. That's my favorite part. He's a prophet of God, and he says what? He's just like us. Moses, can you say that you are just like Moses? Right? He had a lot of excuses. We could say like a character like David. We could say we are just like David. Amen? We sin. We worship. We praise God. We recover from our sinfulness because of God's faithfulness. And this is something I want us to see, that don't get too excited about how faithful this psalm is. He also struggles. That's why it's important for us that we pursue and grow in holiness. There is something that rings true and commendably honest about this heartfelt cry of the psalmist. He is very godly man, but he is accurately aware of how ungodly he is. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this passage, but if you please turn with me there. Starting on verse 15. Paul is writing as a Christian, as a believer, saying that life, even for an apostle, is a struggle. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Do you hear Paul? Do you hear Paul? Despite of writing many books in the New Testament, and he can say this. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Can you stop there and think? How many of us struggle in this way? That we want to live a godly life, but yet we keep seeing ourselves stumbling, struggling, and doing the wrong things instead, right? Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Verse 21, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. When was the last time you called yourself wretched? When you come before God in your prayer, do you publicly, privately confess how wicked your heart is before a holy God? Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have hope. We have hope. If you believe that you're struggling with sin right now, there is hope for us, for you. Amen. You see the psalmist, you may see him as a godly person, even in Psalm chapter 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. But you look at the psalmist, the same thing, that he is also that has that struggle. Listen again to the word of God. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Those passages state, first of all, that the word of God is commanded in order that we keep it. And second of all, that they reflect an aspiration, a resolution on the part of the Christian in his or her heart to live out the word of God. and both God's purpose in providence that we would grow in holiness, and His teaching in Scripture is that we might grow in holiness. You know, if the Christian could have his or her way, if the Christian could have it her way, he or she would never sin again. She would never sin again, right? I mean, if it's only in our power, we will not sin again. If we could, when we are in the Word, when the Lord is the light of our salvation, the one thing that we are tired of is our what? Are you tired of your sin, church? Yes. If there is one thing that you and I struggle every single day, it's what? Sinning. Oh, God, help us. If we could. And if in those moments we could sign up for the deepest desire of our hearts, we'd say, Lord, sign me up for never sinning against you again. I never want to rob your glory again. I never ever want to do it. I don't want to do it because your loving kindness is better than life. In your courts is joy forevermore. In your presence and provision is true blessedness. That's why, God, I don't want to sin again. When I see this in the book of Psalm chapter 119, it reflects that. You know, when you in the presence and the provision and the joy knowing that, that's where we want to live. Amen? That's how we want to be. I mean, I don't want to live outside of your blessing. But that's where sin takes me. I don't want to live outside your joy. That's where sin takes me. I don't want to rob your glory. And that's what is involved in my sinning against you, against God. And the believer is just tired of sinning. Are you tired of sinning? I hope you realize that. We don't want to do it anymore. Why? Because we know that God's purpose in providence, and we know that His teaching in Scripture is all designed to be conducive to our growing in holiness, so that we can grow in happiness and blessedness, because those things are not separate. You cannot grow in holiness without growing in happiness. And you cannot grow in happiness without growing in holiness. The psalmist is like us in that he has not yet attained the obedience for which he yearns. He admits this openly. And the question is, are we like him? Are we like him in his desires to seek God? Are we like him, the desire to know the Bible and actually obey God's commands? Number 5. Christian holiness is comprehensive. Christian holiness is comprehensive. Look at verse 6. Christian holiness is comprehensive. It attends to all of God's commands. Listen to what the psalmist says in verse 6. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. True faithfulness, true living to God, truly walking with God, true devotion is not indifferent to any of God's commandments. Again, if you go back to verse 5, John Owen said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Be killing sin or it will be killing you. True godliness is not indifferent to any of God's commandments. And it knows that if we allow sin to be nurtured in one place in our life, sure enough, Satan, our enemy, will use that place to bring us to grief. What would be the result of such obedience? In verse 6, the psalmist concludes, and I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments, your decrees. John Calvin teaches that the law of God is like a mirror. When we look in a mirror, we see ourselves as we really are, right? How many of you, before you left, you look at yourself in the mirror, right? You look good, right? How's my hair today? Okay? The law shows us our sin when we are disobedient. This is meant to lead us not to despair, but to repentance. The law is ultimately designed to drive us to Christ and His salvation. At the same time, when we do the will of God, our shame is what? It's lifted. Right? You look at verse 6. You read that passage again and see the beauty of the Word of God. Then I shall not be put to shame. The law no longer condemns us, as we have read Romans what? 8. Amen. Conscience no longer accuses. Rather than being captured in shame, we are ready to what? We're ready for worship. Amen. Man, have you experienced that? When you know that you're walking in the word of the Lord, right? But when you are following His ways, despite of the sinfulness that you have created for yourself, and you have obeyed God and repented of your sins and walk accordingly, you see that joy and that shame has been lifted up. Have you experienced that joy? That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, your sins have been what? Forgiven. That's what it looks like, that our shame has been lifted up. You experience that despite of that sinfulness, God has forgiven you because of Jesus Christ, and you're able to what? Worship again. Just like in Psalm 51, David writes, "Restore to me the joy of what? Of my salvation." Hallelujah. Right? He had expressed how he had sinned before God, and now he turns at the end, towards the end of that, "Restore to me." He's praying, "God, restore to me the joy." And what does God do? He lifts it up. He removes that because of Jesus Christ. And He does that to us today as well. Number 6. True devotion is based on God's Word. True devotion is based on God's Word. Verse 7. You look at verse 7 here. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. True devotion, living the Christian life, the Bible way, true Christian devotion is based on the Word of God. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. He's saying, Lord, I will live the way that you want me to live when I know your Word, when I've studied your Bible, when I've understood your Word. So the foundation for Christian living is what? The Word of God. Understanding that the Word of God. True Christian devotion, truly living to God, is based on sound knowledge and theology. That's why the psalmist will say that the lamp of truth is the light of our what? Of our path. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The path, the feet reflect living, walking along the way. But what lights it? What guides you, church? The Word of God. So true Christian devotion is based on the Word of God, and that's why Matthew Henry said, as long as we live, we must be scholars in Christ's school and sit at His feet. Have you ever wondered why in the world do these people in our church study the Bible every week? I mean, you have women's Bible study, right? You didn't just come to your fellowship and like, hey, I want to look yellow today, right? I want to look bright because it's sunlight. No, that doesn't make any sense. But hey, right? We go to our young people fellowship. They don't just play video games, which they don't. They study the Word of God, right? In our Tuesday night Bible study, we're not just there to eat. I mean, we're there to study the Bible, right? When you have discipleship, You're not just there to have coffee and just chit-chat. You're there to what? To study the Word of God. That's your devotion. There's a reason for your gathering. You know, we're not just studying the Bible so we can impress others. How good. Oh, our church, we saw Bible church. We go there and we study the Bible. That's not the language that we speak about. Just because you have scriptural knowledge, we don't study the Bible because of that. Amen? I hope you're not doing that. That you can outsmart someone else with your Bible knowledge. You study the Bible because the life of happiness, the life with God is based on what? The Word of God. Amen. That's it. That's the way of living or being happy. Being with God is being in the Word of God. We want to be with God. We want to walk with God. We want to know true blessedness. We want to bless other people. The only way we can do that is if our lives are based on what? The Word of God. Amen. If we're not studying the Word of God for that reason, then our studying will be what? Going nowhere. We'll never worship God sincerely and from the heart unless we've subjected ourselves to the Word of God, because the true Christian devotion is based on what? The Word of God. Let's close. Number 7. To walk with the Lord requires resolution and utter dependence on God's grace. Number 7. To walk with the Lord requires resolution and utter dependence on God's grace. If you look at verse 8. Listen to the resolve, Bible church, to resolve in the first part of verse 8. And listen to the desperation in the second part. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. What are those doing together when you read that? Does it make sense? I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Lord, I want to do your word. I don't do your word, or I want to walk according to the word. Lord, I know I'm going to fall flat on my face. Help me. Don't leave me. That's exactly what's going on in the psalmist's heart. Those are most godly in their resolve for holiness are least confident in their ability to follow God's commandments through their own resolve. So they cry out to God in desperation for help. You see what he's crying about? I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. He understands. His psalmist understands that as much as I want to do your commandments, I can't do it. I need your help. That's why I said the psalmist isn't throwing out platitudes to us. He knows this struggle. You've sensed the struggle actually throughout the psalm, but you can't miss it in verse 8. Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to walk according to your word. I know the minute I make that resolve, I'm going to fail. How many of you have experienced that? Right? You just studied the Bible and it's like you just cut someone off. Right? You just left church. And said, Lord, I want to do right the moment I leave this church. Then your wife wants to argue with you. Your children is being annoying and this and that. Lord, I want to follow you. Help me. Listen to what William Plummer says. These 8 verses teach that true devotion is sincere, consistent, practical, hearty, intelligent, earnest, active, stirring, diligent, humble, distrustful of itself. Unspotted from the world, self-renouncing, confident in God, delighting in thankfulness, fully purposed to keep the law, and ready to confess without God's grace that it cannot do it any of it. The question is, do you see how God's word and the gospel and God's grace all go together in the living of the Christian life? It's right here in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1 through 8. All you have to have is Psalm 119, verse 8. If you could read a book that taught you about true happiness, if you could read a book that helped you read the Christian life, resolve the tensions of your aspiration, your fumblings and stumblings in the Christian life, it's this, Psalm 119. This is what you see in verse 8. I will keep your statutes, do not utterly forsake me. He's not saying that he's losing his salvation. It has nothing to do with that. He's just crying out, Lord, I want to do what's right, but I need your help. Have you cried that prayer before? Right? You know you want to please God, you want to honor God, but yet you are struggling. But in our own ability, we cannot do those things. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. So it's important that when we are in the midst of our temptations, what do? We pray. Right? When you need to make decisions in life, what do? You pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. May you bless it indeed. We don't just want to know things in our heads. We want to know through things in our heads. We want to keep, we want to obey, we want to follow you. We want to know your truth. Lord, help us what that looks like for us today. What are the things that we need to do, Father, to know your truth? Reveal the priorities in our lives. Are we spending time to know you? Because, Lord, what we have heard today, the way to happiness is conforming to your word. Happiness is not about circumstances. Happiness is not about stuff. Being truly happy, truly blessedness is conforming to your word. May we live it out. May we live out this truth in our lives today. But we can only do that by your grace, so we need your strength. Thank you for how real this psalmist is to us. He is just like us. But Lord, may we desire to seek you more. May we spend time with you this coming week. So help us live by your truth. For we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.